Hey everyone, welcome. Nice to see everybody. Get started in just a second. Usually I'm like all stressed out trying to make sure the guest is here, and there's no guest today, it's me. So things are a little bit easier actually. But we'll go ahead and get started in just a minute. Let me open up, like I always have to do the chat. Okay, the chat should be open. If somebody can just pop in that they can hear me and see me, that would be great. Welcome. Okay, I see your hand is raised. Oh, here we go. Everyone. And these can chat with everyone. There. I did it. Thanks. Nathan, just by raising your hand, I realized there was a problem. So thank you for doing that. Awesome. Nice to see everybody. I'm really excited for this conversation. It's kind of a message I've been thinking about a lot in the last couple months. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen as we get started for those of you who are new to our webinars. And kind of go through a couple of Okay, awesome. Well, welcome everyone. My name is Skye. I am the founder of Soccer Parenting. So we're going to go ahead and get started on time here. I'm going to go ahead and silence my phone, make sure that that's all off. I have everything else shut down. So just a few of our guidelines as we're getting started. I know many of you have been on the webinars before. I kind of looked through the list of people who had registered. So welcome to many of you. Thanks for coming back. Absolutely going to encourage questions today. I'll be monitoring those in the Q&A area. There'll be some specific times I ask for questions as well. So be on the lookout for those times, and then hopefully that can start a little bit of conversation. The chat is opened. I opened it, but I am not monitoring it, especially with it being me here. Usually I like look over at the chat when the guest is talking for a second. So because it's just me today, I don't really have time at all to look into the chat. So that is there for you all to converse and connect with one another. I love that. But I will be looking in the Q&A only for questions. We are recording this. The recording of this will be at the Soccer Parent Resource Center later this week. We'll actually probably put a recording of this one out on Soccer Parenting as well, since it's such a broad conversation. You are muted. If there is a time where you have a question and I am able to unmute you, probably easier just to pop it in the Q&A. I know it's hard to be distraction-free in our day and age of having things everywhere. I personally have been really trying to leave my phone in different rooms or as I'm working, realizing how important that is. So I encourage you all to shut down as much as you can around you so that we can make the most of this hour together. And I think by now everyone's clear on background applications and shutting those down as well. I think it's so cool. My marketing team at Tipodium created this slide so that I'm right in the corner. When they did it, I was like, what is this slide all about? And they said, well, you'll be right in the corner while it's on. And I love that that works. My name is Skye. I am the founder of Soccer Parenting, founded Soccer Parenting 10 years ago. We'll be talking a little bit about that journey and the origin story for soccer parenting, because it's really interlaid into this conversation that we're going to be having today about inspiring, about how we can become more inspirational parents, how we can really show up for our children, for the clubs, for the communities in a way that is empowering. Our mission at Soccer Parenting is inspiring players by empowering parents. We want you all as parents to understand the power that you have to ensure that your child is inspired through their sporting experience. And that is the topic of today. So, we have these two things interlaid. We have a few different websites. If you're not a member at Soccer Parent Resource Center, I would really encourage you to become one. I know many of you have memberships through your clubs or state associations, but we do sell individual memberships as well. It is really what drives our revenue here at Soccer Parenting, so I'd appreciate you supporting our mission. It's only $36 a year or $3.49 a month, and you'll have access to a lot of the education. I'm actually going to show you some of that today as we're in the middle of talking about some of the ways that we need to show up for our kids. So that's soccerparentresourcecenter.com. I'm going to go ahead and show you this new slide before I jump in, and then I'll shut my slides down. But just want, as we're getting started here, for people to see the kind of to see what we've got going on as far as these six steps. So this is something that I've been working on at Soccer Parenting. For those of you who might follow us on social, or if you're on our newsletter, you knew that I was in Spain for the last 5 weeks. Part of my time in Spain was to just really try to rethink soccer parenting, to rethink the work that we're doing and the impact and how we're connecting with parents. And so, soccer parenting is essentially, and the Soccer Parent Resource Center is essentially an education platform for youth soccer parents and coaches. And we're evolving it into, for those who want more of a sort of a transformational platform. So shifting from education to potentially being more transformational, because I know that that's what parents are seeking. I hear that from parents all the time. So we've created these six steps. This is what we're going to be going over today is, the first step is embracing, finding community. The second step for parents is reflection, and then education, and then accountability, holding ourselves accountable to the beliefs and values that we have as far as youth sports and what is important for our children. And then, so foundational. If you've been following soccer parenting for a while, you know that, what we're really about is trust and establishing trust in the coach-parent relationship, and then engagement within the greater community, whether that's the team, whether that's a club culture, whatever that means, engagement within the game. So we will dive into that today. So these are our six steps. We will be launching programming around this on the Soccer Parent Resource Center in the coming months. If you go through our new member onboarding program already at Soccer Parenting, you'll see that we have those steps and we're starting to layer in some messages about them. Really, really excited about that. Okay, so again, I'm going to just dive in. This is going to be a lot of me chatting. I don't have slides for this conversation because it's just a lot of kind of storytelling and things that, I know to be true after spending 10 years in the space of sports parenting. I absolutely encourage you, like I said, to ask questions if you have any. But to start with, I kind of want to go over sort of why these six steps, like why we need this, or why we're in this space where I think that this is important. We know that in many ways, youth soccer, youth sports is not necessarily giving our children what it needs. I say a lot of times, youth sports is not working yet. We want to give you all as parents the greatest chance of your child reaching their soccer playing potential. And importantly, by you joining a community and by you getting some education around youth sports and youth soccer specifically for your child, you will become a part of the solution to make youth soccer better. And that's what we believe, that anytime anyone joins our movement, whether that's joining our mailing list, whether that's getting involved in a work, that we're together making youth soccer better. I want us to imagine a youth soccer experience for our children that is filled with joy, that's filled with inspirational moments, that's filled with friendships that last forever, and really important life lessons that are learned along the way. All of that, while he or she competes with really intensity and a high level of competitiveness on the field, I do believe that it's possible to have all of those things coming together. I want us to imagine a youth soccer experience for our children that is full of that great feeling that we have as parents when our child is thriving. And a lot of times we hear from parents when their child isn't thriving, or when parents' instincts are telling them that the environment their child is in isn't quite right for their child. So, we all know that in many ways, youth sports, I say, has been hijacked. We have sidelines that are way too out of control, where the focus is too much on winning instead of competing. There's just really an unhealthy focus on that. There's irrational sideline behavior. There's parents who are living vicariously through their child. There's coaches and clubs that sometimes aren't communicating the way that parents need and deserve to be communicated to. There's a pay-to-play structure that is a really makes families very uncomfortable and is hard on families. There's nationwide travel that sometimes doesn't need to happen. And sadly, there's poor learning environments and too often a lack of team chemistry. So we really do believe that as parents go through these six steps, and as you get engaged, as you become part of the solution, and obviously collaboratively with the clubs that we're working with, we have over 200 club partners, 16 state associations, leagues that we're working with across the United States that are really showing up and doing great things. When we come together collectively and collaboratively is when we will make youth soccer better. That's when we'll change the culture into one in which our children deserve. So at Soccer Parenting, we know that parents getting properly involved with the correct boundaries in the soccer experience of their child is really what's going to make a big difference. And so, we do believe that parents, coaches, and clubs collaboratively working together will improve player development. So those things we really do believe to be true. And that's why you all being here today and getting involved with this movement, diving in, reflecting a little bit on yourself on how you can show up for your child and for the team and for the club a little bit differently. You know, it's going to take all of us being a little bit more intentional, being a little bit more thoughtful in order for this to happen. So that's sort of the big picture of what I want to talk to you about, and you know, the movement that that's evolving from us. But more than anything, we want to make sure that you understand that you will be the difference maker. And I think a lot about my son when I'm thinking here, because, you know, my daughter went to school and everything was very easy for my daughter. My daughter went into school and learning is easy for her. And for my son, who has dyslexia, learning is hard for him. And so it became very apparent to me when my son was going into the elementary school system. My daughter was already, you know, in third, fourth grade by then, but that I needed to show up differently for him because he needed a little bit more help. And the environment that he was in required me to dive in. And I think that there's some lessons there about youth soccer. And as parents, you know, it's not so much just signing our kids up for soccer anymore. It's learning and getting engaged and getting a little bit more involved with our kids' experiences in the right way, with the right boundaries, just so that we can make sure that our child is as inspired as possible. I see that Gil is asking for those six steps again. So it's an acronym CREATE. So it's community, it's reflection, education, accountability, trust, and engagement. And we'll go through each of those here. And also, I will tell you that, you know, when I was in Spain and kind of going through all of this and developing this, what I really realized as I was creating this path is that this is the path that I went on. You know, I founded Soccer Parenting because I was struggling with my daughter's youth soccer experience. I was struggling because she and I weren't getting along as well. There was a lot of conflicts because my mentality is much different than Callie's. I was struggling because I knew that our learning environment wasn't as great as it could be to inspire her as like 7, 8-year-old. And so there were a lot of different things coming at me. And really, I founded Soccer Parenting and kind of dove in. So all of these steps, you know, I found this great community. Fortunately, I already had a great community with my strong network in the game as a former player, as an active youth coach. You know, as a college coach at that time, I had a great soccer network already. But I found my community. And then I did a lot of personal reflection. And then I educated myself. All of these webinars I've done over the last 10 years, the hundreds of them, have all been education for me. You know, I started this not knowing much about the language that I would use or what long-term athlete development was or any of these terms. And now I feel like, you know, through this education, I've been able to support my daughter as well. So these steps, these six steps are really the process and the journey that I went through as a youth soccer parent. And this weekend I was at my daughter's college graduation. So mission accomplished. She still loves the game. She plays all the time. That's the big picture is we want our children to stay active and healthy and ideally fall in love with the game in a way that they'll take it with them for their lifetime. So with Callie, I knew that just being calm on the sidelines and trying to relax wasn't enough, that I needed to be a little bit more intentional. Okay, so let's dive into step number one. Yes, Tim, mom, step in. You're right. side note, as I'm just chatting with you guys here, you know, this is kind of reminiscent. The other thing I spent some time and studied a few years ago is like the evolution of the PTA and, you know, the role that parents played in the PTA. Once the PTA was formed, how that really helped transform education in America. I mean, it needs a lot of transformation now. I agree. I understand. But the role that parents played in schools becoming safer, in there being better standards of learning and being more equality and equity across education. So I do think that, you know, in many ways that parents really are a big difference maker here. Okay, so community is step number one. So as a youth soccer parent, the first thing that you need to be thinking about are who your people are. You know, I have talked a lot about, and I want to speak here about crazy soccer parents and how crazy soccer parents have really ruined it for us level-headed ones. You know, the crazy soccer parents take a lot of energy from coaches, from us. And sadly, over the years, we've allowed them to be the loudest voice, to have the most power within the environment. And we've allowed that because as level-headed parents, we live in fear of being portrayed by the coach or the club as a crazy soccer parent. So we have decided that likely the best way we can not be a crazy parent is to just be quiet. And so what this movement of soccer parenting is about the level-headed parents, the vast majority of us who are seeking what's best for our children, that that have perspective on the youth sports experience, but might need some guidance and some education and some support along the way. That is who this movement is for. We're trying to give rise to the majority of us to take the emphasis, to take the power away from the crazy parents. And we see them on the sidelines way too often. We see children falling out of the game because parents are living vicariously through them. We see all the results of the crazy soccer parents. And now we have a place as level-headed parents to show up, to support our children, to support the teams, to support the coaches. And crazy soccer parents have also really ruined youth soccer because coaches, myself included, as a soccer coach over the years, coaches have been burned by crazy soccer parents. They take way too much time and energy. Just the other day, I was reading back over a journal that I kept when I was coaching a few years ago, and I have two or three journal entries about a crazy parent on my team and how stressful this was for me. So it took so much energy away from me, even in this work that I'm doing. And so coaches have been burned by parents. And so they avoid all parents and they come to these this understanding, or they make assumptions about the vast majority of parents. Or we decide as coaches that it's just easier not to deal with parents. And so they kind of put the parents aside. At Soccer Parenting, we believe that collaborative relationships, that the definition of parent engagement is coaches, clubs, and parents working together to inspire players. So we really need to flip the script on the youth soccer culture and rid our sidelines of the crazy parents, or we're not going to rid our sidelines of them, but don't give them the energy and the power that they've taken from us and that's negatively impacted our children. Now, crazy soccer parents aren't the only thing that is an issue in youth soccer. I mean, there's a lot of structural issues. There's a lot of issues with coaches. There's a lot of issues with leadership. I mean, there's a lot of ways that we need to improve youth soccer. It's very holistic in nature, what needs to happen. But I do want to just be really, really clear that the community that we surround ourselves with really matters. And so in this first step of community, what I'm asking you to do is to think about who your people are, who the level-headed parents are within the youth sports environment that you're participating in, and to really sort of connect with them, unite with them, establish yourself, like say out loud, like I am a level-headed soccer parent, and then start living within that community. We have a couple of tools for you at Soccer Parenting to support you here. We have our Soccer Parenting Facebook page, I'll follow up in an email since I don't have somebody monitoring this. I can't really like pop that in the chat right now. If somebody wants to pop in a link to our private Facebook group page, if they're a member of it, that'd be great, into the chat. But we have our private Facebook group. Answer the questions to join. And Kelly, who monitors the Facebook group, will let you in. So that's a great community of level-headed parents, coaches, referees, administrators. We want everyone to come into that Facebook group and to really share and connect with everybody. And then we also have our community forums. So if you're a member at Soccer Parent Resource Center, you have access to our community forums. I'm excited. We've been working so hard on them. And, you know, conversations are starting to happen. Community forums take a long time to get going. And I really appreciate Tim's on this call. He's been very active in the forums, and many other parents have as well. So jump in there and get active. That's a community where you can ask questions in a safe environment, where you can seek guidance and support in a safe environment. Thank you so much to a couple of people, Chris, Sahadia, for putting that link in. So, you know, I'd really encourage you to join our Facebook group if you're not a member. If you are a member, join the Facebook group and also show up in the community forum. We ask important questions there. We're starting to link all of our education into the forums as well so we can keep conversation going. Okay, so number one step of the CREATE acronym is community, and that's us. That's our level-headed parents all coming together. We're the community that is going to make you soccer better when we work collaboratively with the level-headed coaches and like-minded club leaders that are out there. Second step, this one requires some work. I'm just going to say it up front, and that's reflection. You know, I'm developing right now, we'll have it launched on the education platform in the next couple of weeks, a reflection workbook. It takes time to go through this. Like this is not necessarily supposed to be easy. It's not like, you know, a long involved process, but I do believe that the first step in our learning, in our growing, in our showing up for our children is spending 20, 30 minutes and reflecting on us. Reflecting on a few things. One is our youth sports experience, what that was or wasn't, or, you know, just so that we have perspective and understanding about, you know, how we feel about youth sports and how youth sports showed up for us. And then reflecting on our child's youth sports experience. And then the third step in this reflection process is reflecting on how we are showing up within the larger community, like how we feel about the sense of community within our soccer experience. Because, you know, as a parent, that's a big role, and that's going to be the last step we talk about, engage. But, you know, we really have a big role to play when it comes to engagement and showing up within that community. So when we go through the reflection process right now, even if you've been a member for a while, if you go on to roadmaps, which is a new section we started, I'm going to open up the education platform in a second. But if you go into the roadmaps, you'll see the onboarding roadmap. Even if you've been a parent for a while, a member for a while, go through that onboarding just so that you're seeing all the new things that we have offered. And part of that is a quick reflection questionnaire. We will build that out in the coming weeks to a much larger reflection. But I think it's important that we start there. I talked about this a while ago. It's a concept I heard about on a podcast, not soccer-related one. And it's this idea of decoupling. And when I heard this, I've mentioned this on webinars in the past or recently, because it was something that really struck me. And when we start to reflect on us, and how we're experiencing youth sports for our kids, and then start to think about our child's experience and what they're feeling and what's good and bad about it and what can be improved. And then the sense of community, what's good and bad about it, how we can improve it. When we start doing that, I think what we start doing is decoupling a little bit from our child's experience. So those of us who might struggle with living vicariously through our children, you know, it's a term I always have loathed, and I've always like lived in fear of living vicariously through my child. And I've always felt like I must be doing something wrong because Callie feels so much pressure from me, even though I don't feel pressure from her. But I think that, you know, in the far recesses of my mind, of course, I want her to excel and I want her to be her best. And it's so easy for that to feel like pressure on our children, depending on our children's mindset. So as I was listening to this podcast and the psychologist was talking about this concept of decoupling from our children or decoupling from relationships, it really struck me that that's what is very powerful when that can happen. So yes, of course, we can still want what's best for our children. We can still want them to thrive. We can still want them to work harder and be their best and to set goals that are high. We don't have to force those goals upon them, but we can also want that in a very healthy way once we feel like we're just here to support them and show up for them instead of prompt them too much. And so I think that this reflection and these reflection moments for us are really, really important. So if the reflection workbook is not ready yet, when it is, you can go through that. But to start with, you can ask yourselves just a few simple questions and maybe even jot them down now and come back to them. But it's these three concepts that I talked about. It's the youth sports experience that you had. It's the youth sports experience your child has. And it's the sense of community that you feel around youth sports in your family. And then look at each of them and just simply say, what's going well? What's not going well? And how can it get better? What can I do? And just ask, go through those three steps on those three areas. And I think that's a first really great step in reflection. And then obviously take all of those, what can I do better and what can change, what needs to change, take all of those and put them into a list and then take those with you to the next step. And that's our education platform. Because really, we've got so many answers here for you already from amazing experts all around the globe. I see a couple of things. Oh, that's the chat. Good. The chat is open, so I see that in the background. So if you have any questions, put them into the Q&A. But we are going to go from community, establishing our community, to reflection, reflecting on how we're showing up for our kids, and then kind of going from there and thinking about education. But a couple of more points on reflection that I wanted to get to. Other things that we really, really need to reflect on is our sideline behavior. And so even as level-headed parents, it's really easy for us to get sucked into the game. And I call it, it's really easy for us to care too much about the result. Now, we want our children to show up with a competitive attitude. And of course, we want them to win. But we can't care too much about the result, because the fact is that half of every children in America are going to lose a game every weekend. And so if that's the expectations, we're just setting things up for failure. We're setting things up to be stressful. So as parents, you know, how we show up and reflect about our sideline behavior is really important. And for those of you who haven't taken our sideline project course, it's a 15-minute course. 67% of parents who take the course say that their behavior improved as a result of taking it. And my favorite statistic from this course, again, 15 minutes of your time, 42% of parents who take the course say that their relationship with their child improved as a result of taking the Sideline Project course. So I'll show you where it is on the education platform if you're a member. If you're not a member, you can grab a 3-day free pass and go take it. You can buy the course independently at thesidelineproject.com. There's lots of ways for you to get the course. And in the course, we frame sideline behavior into three categories. Somebody want to pop in what they are? I'm testing people. Anybody remember what the three categories are for sideline behavior? Supportive. Yep. Angie, we got that. That's one of them. Distracting. Yeah, Will got it. Heidi was close. She said disruptive. So supportive, distracting, and hostile. Awesome. You guys are amazing. Love it. So those are the three. Those are the three categories and kind of buckets that we have for sideline behavior. Your behavior is either supportive, or it's distracting, or it's hostile. I think we know what hostile behavior is. Talking to kids, screaming at our children, screaming at other children. I mean, it's crazy what happens out there. So we know what hostile behavior is. I think we can all agree, like, I'm not going to be a part of that. But what happens is that there's a lot of confusion for parents between what is supportive and what is actually distracting. What's distracting our children from learning? When we talk to our children, and there's lots of science and research behind this, when you talk to your child when they're in the middle of performing, you're distracting them, you're not helping. What's kind of confusing about this is that sometimes we can help them in the moment, because we might say, throw the ball to Mike. And your child might get the ball, pick up the ball real quick and throw it to Mike. And there might be a breakaway. And maybe your team will score. And then you'd be like, oh, I'm so glad I said that to him. But what you've just done is you've taken away the learning opportunity for your child to be able to see that. And probably the best thing that you could have done is if your child didn't do that, if they didn't pick up the ball quickly and throw it to Mike, and instead they took their time or they got distracted, then maybe you could talk to them afterwards about it. And then the next time they can try to throw the ball in faster and see if that works. But for them to control the learning themselves instead of us telling them what to do. And obviously that's one example, but the other thing we're doing as parents all the time is like shoot or go here, or pass here. And our children just hear it's distracting. So in the middle of the course, we do a super effect test with parents to help you understand what it feels like to be distracted when you're trying to concentrate. And this is what we're doing to our children. We're just distracting them from playing and we're making it about us. We're caring too much instead of just watching them and seeing the joy of watching them learn. So that's something that as parents, when it comes to reflection is, you know, one of our big focuses for this year and next is on sideline behavior. And so reflecting as a parent on sideline behavior is something that's key. And if you want to be more inspiring and you want to be a more empowering parent, how you show up on the sidelines really, really matters. And, you know, I hear from parents that take the course all the time or that have evolved in their sideline behavior, how much more positive they feel, how much more joy they feel when they're going to their kids' sports experiences. So there's a real lesson for us to be learned here. Thanks, Gil. I appreciate it. It's transformational. I appreciate that, Gil. I really do believe that it is as well. Okay, so we've got create. We have, from that, we have community. We have reflection. And the next step is education. I'm just looking at my time. We've got time here. So our education, this is where I'm going to ask for questions so we can dive in. So our categories, I'm going to pop them in real quick here, are the body. I'll do it in caps. Oh, gosh. The body, the mind, the game, the coach-club relationship, the next level. So that means the high performance dreams or even going from rec to travel and parenting. So those are our six categories that we provide education around at Soccer Parenting. And so I'd love to try to take, I put that into the chat, not the Q&A. I'd love to try to take, if you all have a question that's lingering for you about something related to the body, physical performance, or something related to the mind, your child, just, we're not going to dive so much in, but what I'm going to do is quickly answer it and show you where the resources are that are available to you. Because we do believe that education is an essential component of parent engagement. And when I first founded Soccer Parenting over 10 years ago, the concept and the term that everyone used in this space, not that there were a lot of people in this space, but it was parent education. And then there became this little movement of people, not necessarily from me, but there quickly, a couple years after I founded this, became this big movement to start calling it parent engagement, not parent education, which I agree with. Like, we want parents to be engaged. You know, this is a big part of our work that we're doing. But what I believe sort of happened when there was a shift from education to engagement is that we lost track of the education component a little bit with this idea that parents don't want to be educated. But what I know to be true, because this is what I do, and when I'm traveling the country and when I'm speaking to parents and I'm educating them, their eyes are open. You guys are excited and listening and learning about things like relative age effect really impacts how you support your child. So I do believe that parents want to be educated as well. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and I realize now that I don't have it open real quick because I closed all my browsers. So sorry about this, but I'm going to go ahead and open up the Soccer Parent Resource Center and share that with you all. And I'm going to just share my screen real quick. And we're going to dive in here a little bit when we're talking about education, because this will be a good prompt for me to sort of talk about where and how we educate. So this is our education platform, Soccer Parent Resource Center. You just click in, and right now we're behind the membership wall. So if you've never been on our education platform, you're getting a sneak peek of it right now. And this is, you know, all of the education and resources that are available. I mentioned the community and the community forum. So there's a whole community that's here as well that, you know, you can interact with as well. But let's dive into the library. because I do want to talk about education. I talked about the different levels of, or the different categories, and the majority of our content is housed here in the library. So I'm just going to look over to the questions and see. I think the reflection workbook is being developed right now. So I think it'll be available in the next week or two. It's all written out. It's just a matter of, it's with a design team right now. So we're really excited about that. I was hoping to have it here for this webinar, but it's only so much that you can do. Sometimes there's delays. So we talked about all these different areas. So let's start with the body. And again, if anyone has a question related to the body, I can kind of show you, we can use that as a frame for kind of talking about different things that parents need to learn. But when I think about youth soccer parents, and when I think about this topic of the body, there's so much that's essential for you all to understand. One, very first here is this webinar that I did with Jess Freemus. This first one here, the female factor. If you are raising a daughter, you have to listen to this webinar. If you didn't listen to it, there's so many things that I didn't understand, even as a female athlete myself, about hormones and how they impact performance and ACL injuries around certain times of a women's cycle. There's some incredible research that's just now finally coming about, because forever there's only been research using men. So we're finally, you know, broadening our scope of research globally and starting to do some research on females. And the data points that we're getting in are really fascinating, absolutely fascinating. We talk in this webinar about a free app your child can download, that they can track their period, and just so that they're aware of where they are in the cycle in terms of how it can support them. So absolutely, you know, when we're talking about the body, if you are raising a daughter, this is a webinar you have to listen to. There's a lot of important content here about nutrition and how we show up for our kids with nutrition, what we know, and some common misperceptions that we have, that we've had around nutrition. We have had three nutritionists on the site. Here with John Cohn. I mean, this is John here in this webinar doing one specific to goalkeeping. He is a goalkeeper, but he has a number of articles or a number of interviews on the site that are phenomenal. If you have a child that's returning to play from ACL, there's some great information from both he and Chris Gores, who's here. And then Erica's jumping in about load, we need to support our children when they're playing on multiple teams, maybe it's high school and club, and what we need to do to protect our children from this crazy amount of games that they have to play in terms of making sure they're eating right, making sure they're sleeping right, taking extra time to do that just so that they can stay healthy. So a lot of great information here related to the body. And maybe just, you know, showing you this is starting to trigger some different ideas for you. But one of our steps for parents, we're going to show up and be more inspirational and more empowering for our children, is absolutely, absolutely making sure we understand and that we're getting educated. Chris here talking about functional movement is fantastic interview. It was one of my favorite interviews that I've done, and lots of other really good content here for our children. Okay, so that's the body category. If anyone has a mind, I can show you a question related to mental performance. I can kind of dive into it. But, you know, here's everything from helping our children overcome bullying behavior and dealing with that, to supporting our children's mental health, to also then more mental performance, helping them work through setbacks. So lots of great education here. You see these interviews here. This was the high performance week that we did. So lots of great content here involving the mental side of the game related to high performance. Obviously, that would also show up for next level as well. Dan Abrahams has been a really key voice here at Soccer Parenting. He's a global sports psychologist, good friend of mine, phenomenal human being, and a master at his trade, and has shown up a lot along with Stu Singer on this site. So a lot of great content here, and hopefully just seeing this content and going through the library is triggering you guys on realization of, oh yeah, I need to get more educated about that. We have a lot of good content related to the coach club relationship as well. You know, I said I founded Soccer Parenting because I knew that my daughter's learning environment wasn't necessarily conducive to learning. And I looked around and most of the parents were totally satisfied with the learning environment. And that made me realize, wow, we are never going to reach our potential as a soccer nation until parents understand what a good quality environment looks like. Kind of going back to that PTA example I used, you know, this is absolutely never an us versus them thing that we're doing at Soccer Parenting. It's all very collaborative. But as parents know more, the coaches will know more, the environment will improve, everything will just be raised and elevated for our children. So understanding the coach club dynamic is really essential. We'll talk about boundaries at the end, just want to make sure that, you know, we have appropriate boundaries on everything, but this coach club relationship is key. And, you know, Todd Bean is a good friend of mine. He lives in Spain. For those of you, most of you, if you've heard our webinars before, Todd runs a program called TOVO, where my daughter went and spent her senior spring. It's an international residency program in Spain. And Todd is super holistic in nature, talking about psychologically safe environments for kids to learn, talking about holistic development here on the site. So, like, if you're a parent and you don't know the concept holistic development, that's a term. Oh, that's a good idea to create like a term sheet of things parents should know. I'm going to do that. But holistic development will be front and center on that list. When we're talking about next level and education around that, this is where a lot of our high performance week stuff will come up. Jay DeMeritt, if you don't know Jay's story, it's phenomenal, but a former national team player, Premier League captain, talking about the mental side of the game here. You know, all of these things are really, really key here. Oh, we're talking about the next level. Sorry, I was like, this is all not mental side of the game. This is next level stuff. So, if your child has high performance dreams, what if your child says they have, we just had an interesting conversation in the forums about this. Like, what if your child says they have high performance dreams, says they want to play in college, yet they just sit around on the couch all the time? Like, how do you do that? How do you show up then? Like, we've got content around that for parents, because that's obviously a very common thing that we deal with. So there's a great interview from a couple of people here talking about that as well. And then education related to the game. When we survey new parent members, we ask what they're most curious about. The game is what always comes up. Like, that's the thing that parents want to learn more about, the game. So go in here and search the game and you'll have a lot of great content. Here's technical, tactical stuff. Passing combinations, defensive shifting. What does that even mean? So here's education for you around that. And these three topics from SportsLab 360 change regularly. So we're always rotating new content in here from them. Other things related to the game is a lot of education for young kids. So, kids that are new to the game. And then Soccer Talk is a section all about questions that parents are asking about the game itself. So we answer your questions in our Soccer Talk section and in our Ask the Expert section. What does breaking lines mean? What does checking to the ball mean? What does receiving with your front foot mean? All of those things we're diving into. And, you know, as parents, I don't think it's essential that you have this education, but I do think it's a nice connection that you can help have with your child. And I think we already went through the body, the mind, the game, the coach club relationship. And then our final section is parenting, which you can imagine. We have a lot of education from really quality people related to parenting. Okay, so another quick thing, I mentioned our new onboarding thing. So here is where you can find the new member onboarding. Even if you're a previous member, go through that. Another thing we just added in here at our education platform, I love this part, is the Q&A tiles. So as you're curious about something, my child gets upset when they make a mistake, content pops up where you can find answers to your questions about these different topics. And then at the end, ask us more questions. We'll guide you to the answers, here along the way. So I'm really excited about this section. This is in the parent tiles here as well. I mentioned the last thing I'll show you is the courses. I mentioned the Sideline Project course. Here's where you find it. It's a 15-minute course, simple online education, work through the different steps, and you'll have access to a certificate at the end. It's just a quick video that you watch essentially there. Okay, so I'm going to stop sharing the education platform. I just wanted, for those of you who are already a member, to know how you can dive in, search by different categories, search by different topics. And we have a lot of resources here. But bigger picture than that, it's like the essentialness of parents getting educated. I'm going to go back to my conversation about my son. And, you know, as he's coming up in the game, or as he's coming up in school, how important it was for me to learn more about dyslexia and to learn more about how he amazingly and uniquely learns so that I can support him. And I'm not saying that. I think it's important that we realize that, you know, use sports today are challenging. And our kids are in challenging environments that are structural in nature, that are, there's a lot of reasons for that. And so I think it's important that we have to be realize that we need to be a little bit more intentional about showing up for our kids. It's not just signing them up and sending them out. This education and diving in and having a little bit more knowledge, one, it really helps just to support our kids. But I also love the connections that form from parents as you all are diving in to the education as well, because it helps you feel a deeper connection to your child in the game. Okay, so that's education. I'm going to go through the next three steps. I know I have 15 minutes, so we'll get through that. They are accountability. So it's one thing to reflect and say, this is what I need to change. And then it's one thing to get some education, but then we need to hold ourselves accountable to those. And so for that, I encourage you to look at our soccer parent value statements. We have those pretty easily accessible. I'll just go to soccerparenting.com to show them to you real quick and we can review them. But you know, our value statements, we have six value statements. There's one for each category, active health. And so what we want to do when we're being accountable is we want our values to kind of match our behaviors. And so as we're making decisions for our children, or as you're maybe struggling and not quite sure or feeling some stress about your child's experience or just whatever, as you're just trying to engage, because that's what you're trying to do, you know, reflecting on these value statements can help. You can download these, you can print them, you can put them on your refrigerator, but it's active health, coach integrity, life lessons, soccer knowledge, love of the game, and balanced outlook. So we have a value statement. So ways that parents can show up related to each of these concepts. I'll read one of them as an example. So soccer knowledge, I mean, we're just on the education platform, so that's a good one. It's as simple as we foster our children's love of soccer by seeking to educate ourselves about the rules, nuances, and intricacies of the game. So, you know, these are our value statements for soccer parents, for sports parents. So, you know, important that we can reflect on them. And when we're talking about holding ourselves accountable, it's holding ourselves accountable to these beliefs and to these values and to our values. I would say the biggest area and challenge that I would encourage you all to take on for yourselves is related to sideline behavior. Again, big focus of ours, how we interact with our children during the game, how we interact with referees or officials during the match, how we talk about the coach and the referee and teammates after the game and the car ride home. All of those things are really related to sideline behavior and, you know, how we're responding. And so I think that as parents, that's a way that there's a lot of room for all of us to improve. I know for me personally that I was usually pretty good on the sidelines. Like during a game, I wasn't screaming at referees. I wasn't, screaming at players by any means. And very rarely, once I figured things out with my daughter, was I even talking, because she did not want me speaking. And so I just showed up in attentive silence mode for her. But I would say that the car ride home, there was some challenging times. Like I might talk poorly about the referee, or I might, talk about a decision that was made. And sadly, I'll admit it here, I might have even talked about a teammate and how they played in a match. So, you know, how we show up for our kids is really important. Holding ourselves accountable to being the best parent we can is important. Okay, next step here is trust. This is so foundational to our trust, or to making youth sports better. The first time I ever spoke publicly for soccer parenting was at the United Soccer Coaches Convention in California, or might've been Philadelphia. It was a huge room. I told this story recently. It was this massive room and so many people showed up. I couldn't believe how many people were in the room. And it was this long, narrow room with maybe like five atop rounds across it and just going all the way back, and the mic wasn't working. And so I stood at the front of the room and just like screamed pretty much, all of this. But the topic of my talk that so many coaches showed up for was establishing trust in the coach-parent relationship. And so trust has been where I started all of this. And I do think that, you know, it's an essential step to us showing up as parents. So once we've, you know, had some reflection, we found our community, we've had some reflection, we're starting to educate ourselves, we're holding ourselves accountable, then we can get to this place of trust. And the first step of trust is self-trust. So if you've done all those previous steps and you've gotten to that point, then obviously now you're trusting yourself, or you've done the work so that you can feel like you can trust yourself. And until we can trust ourselves, you know, it's really hard to trust other people around us or to ask that of them. Side note, as I'm mentioning that, like, I do a lot of coach education around that, because this is where coaches, I think, have a lot of stress. Whether it's ego, whether it's stress about them feeling like there's a lot of pressure on them to win. It's a self-serving thing that happens. And we have to start and show up for one another in a spot where we're really confident and clear and have trust in ourselves. So that's something that, as even as parents, we need to think about. The other thing is finding a coach you trust. You know, once we know that our children are in an environment that we trust, oh man, it just feels so, so good. And so I would say that, you know, being reflective and really thoughtful of what that environment looks like. When we get into Soccer Parent Resource Center, we develop content around trust, because there'll be like 6 steps that parents work through, just like that reflection workbook. There'll be a step around education. There'll be a step around accountability. There'll be a step around trust. And when we do that, we'll do some exercises on self-trust, but we'll also talk about, what does youth soccer look like when it's right? And, you know, when we feel like we can trust the environment our children is in, because I'm telling you, there's nothing better than knowing that you're putting yourselves or your children into the hands of an adult that you trust, that has their best interests at heart. So a lot of the coach education that I'm doing on the flip side of this involves coaches showing up with a capacity to be able to love our kids and show up that way for them. So the other concept that I want to talk about with trust quickly before I get to our last step of engage, because I want to spend some good quality time there and wrapping up soon, is the importance of gratitude. So many of you have participated in our Gratitude Week. We hold it every year in February around Valentine's Day week. And, you know, the importance of showing and demonstrating gratitude when it comes to establishing trust is so important. So for those of you who are wondering, like, where this gratitude week comes from, it actually comes from this concept of trust and how important that is. So next year, when that rolls around, please get involved in our Gratitude Week. Okay, our final step here, I'm going to look really quickly in the Q&A to make sure I'm not missing anything. Looking ahead, more training webinars for players already playing at high performance level to help position them to succeed. Yeah. So Hadia, if you go to that high performance week and watch those webinars, I think there are 12 of them. They're 20 minute interviews. You will really get a lot out of it. Listen to Steve Cook. He's now the Atlanta 2 coach. He was the academy director for Seattle Sounders on the boys side. He has a great talk for kids with high performance dreams. He's working with them. He's working on the path to the pros. There's lots of great content on the site for you related to that. And yes, on the mental side of the game as well, we had sports psychologists show up that week and give some great guidance as well. Okay, so engage, our last step. I want to talk to you here about sense of community. And so you remember in the reflection, I said to reflect on how you're showing up within the community or how you feel about the community that's around you. Like, that's something we need to reflect on. Once we've gotten through all these steps, once we've found our community, once we've gotten some reflection done, been educated, gone and held ourselves accountable, we feel like we're in a good environment from a trust standpoint, at least we trust ourselves, then we can really open up our hearts and minds to engaging. And this is where I feel like we have a big opportunity. You know, I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago when I was in Spain. I was on a Zoom talking to a man in France that a friend from Man City connected me with. I love how this game just puts us in touch with these crazy people. It was a wonderful conversation with him. And he at the end, he's like, so just tell me, what are you trying to accomplish? And without hesitation, I was kind of embarrassing to say it here. I was like, I want to bring the world together. Like that's where the game is done for me. I mean, I'm sitting here talking to some random man in France that's connected with some man from Man City who's actually from Barbados, and we're all connected from the game. And like, this is what's so special and unique about this global game of soccer, of football. And this is what I want. I also want to bring back the community that we had growing up. I talked this morning for 45 minutes to one of my club teammates from high school who I still keep in touch with. Like, this is what I want for our kids. This is what I want for our families. Soccer is so uniquely positioned. Sports is so uniquely positioned to help us feel the sense of connection to those that are around us. And we're missing the opportunity. We're missing the opportunity because we get too focused on if our child's going to make the team or not. And there's so much club hopping that's going on. There's so much lack of trust in the environment. And so we're really missing this opportunity. Plus, to be fair, we got a lot of stuff going on as parents and, you know, the extra dinners and time with the team with multiple kids going in multiple directions, all overly programmed. I get it. It's hard. But when we do have an opportunity to connect, whether it's on the sideline before a game, like, we need to be taking advantage of those times. And that is what soccer can so uniquely do for us as parents, with other parents and forming nice friendships there, but also just more globally, like helping our kids connect to the world. And if I could say one thing, when I sent Callie to Spain, I said, I'm sending her to Spain to go to Tobo for the spring because I want her to understand the gift of the game to help her find her space in the world, to help her find her place in the world. And that's just what that experience did, and many other things for her. But that's what we have this opportunity. And that's why we really need to engage. And so sense of community. This is great research. Sense of community theory. There's actually follow-up studies that Eric Legg at Arizona State did about sense of community theory within youth sports soccer teams in America. There's great research on this, but these are the steps of it quickly. Group membership. So in order for us as a parent to feel a sense of community, we have to have a sense of group membership. There's four components of this. Personal investment. We got that covered in youth soccer. We have made a personal investment of time and money. So we feel a group membership because of that. But that's not all. We also will feel group membership when we feel a sense of belonging. And so that's a lot of the education I do for club leaders and coaches about establishing a sense of belonging, helping you feel connected instead of avoiding you, like have the coach call you by a first name and how wonderful that is. Likewise, we can do that with coaches. Boundaries. I've mentioned that a few times here. So this is, you know, not just, you know, parents on fire. This is parents with boundaries supporting kids in the right ways. And so putting bumpers on how we get involved is essential. Finding other people to support our kids in other ways outside those boundaries is really important. But boundaries on the coach-parent relationship is essential, actually, to us feeling a sense of group membership. So I work a lot with coaches on establishing boundaries in the coach-parent relationship. So as parents, we feel another thing, which is next, emotional safety in showing up for those relationships and feel comfortable with that. So those are the four components of group membership: personal investment, sense of belonging, boundaries, and emotional safety. So that's one component of sense of communities. There's three more. They're pretty simple. So we have group membership, and then we have needs fulfillment. And when I ask you soccer parents, what do you need? I get some great answers. In fact, I'm going to ask you that now. If you don't have time to put it in the chat, that's fine. Follow up and write a comment in the Facebook group or write a comment in the community forum about what you feel like we need. In fact, we've been asking you that sense-making question for the past 8 years on soccerparenting.com. You can go to our sense-making question and you can say, what is your greatest goal, problem, or challenge that you're trying to solve for your child? Like, what do you need? But getting your needs fulfilled is an essential step of feeling like you're part of a community. And there's two more. One, it's essential for us as youth soccer parents, for us to feel a part of a group, for us to feel a sense of community within the organization. It's essential that we feel like we have influence. It's essential that we feel like we matter. And I hope that you realize this all is about how much we matter. Like, it's actually important that we not just be the quiet parent, not wanting to be the crazy parent and just being reserved and show up like that, but that we show up with some agency, with some awareness, with all the other level-headed parents, and that we show it because we realize that we have influence, that we matter to this experience that our children are having, that experience of the community, the experience of the coach, the officials, all of our families. So we do have influence in the space. And the fourth component of sense of community, the fourth thing that we need to have is a shared emotional connection. So when we have a shared emotional connection with a coach, with the other parents, with our child, with the other kids in the team, when we all feel that shared emotional connection, then we are going to feel a sense of community. And so my challenge for you, do you know the first names of all the kids in the team? Do you know their parents and their names? Have you ever gotten together and had a potluck supper or something like that with the team? Do you have opportunities to develop an emotional connection? And are you taking advantage or creating those opportunities if you're not? And so, you know, that's the final step of us showing up in terms of how we're going to be more inspiring and more empowering for our children is this sense of engagement and making sure that we feel a sense of community. Okay, that wraps it up for me right at 1 o'clock. I definitely covered the time frame really well here. I'm going to stay on. I just cut these off at the end, but I'm just going to hang out here for a little bit. I got a little bit of time. So I think I'll probably stop recording and hang out here and look at some questions. If anyone has any questions, I'll just stop recording, but hang out here for a little bit more. Thank you, Nathan. Thanks, Sahidia, Angie. Angie, I think that you were up in the community forum. Is that right? I remember that name. I think that was the last name. But I appreciate you all being good. Good. Thank you. It's so nice to see you. I'm so glad your son made the team and he's a goalkeeper. So that's awesome. Thanks so much for being here. Again, I'm just going to stop recording and